This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Ben Standing's down at the owners' meetings, where we just played some sound from Adam Peters. Anything he say to you guys that was interesting? We played the stuff on Terry and Debo, and I guess that was it. Talked about what he said about Tunsil.
I think you kind of hit the highlights. I mean, you know, he didn't go in like crazy depth with a lot of these things, but you know, he was asked, in terms of Debo and Tunsil, you know, just sort of the process for, you know, for going after these types of players, why you want to go after these types of players.
Oh, we played that one too. That was you asking the question, right?
If it was a smart question, yes.
Yeah, it was a very smart question, and yes, we played that one too right at the end before we just joined you. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, there's a lot, of course, as we've all discussed over the last few weeks about what they've done, and I just think one, you know, aspect is like, what is their sort of plan? Why did they feel compelled to spend the draft capital, for a guy like Tunsil? And it's not that complicated of an answer. It's because he's really good, and they really wanted to upgrade the offensive line this year. And you know, as we discussed, there just weren't that many options. And the fact that a guy like that was available, you know, you have to make a call. And Adam said, look, it kind of hurts to trade the picks, but you know, when you want something like that, these guys don't come around very often, so you got to make the call. Whereas like with Debo, it's just more like, hey, I know this guy. And same thing even with Kinlaw as well, and signing him, just like, hey, I know this guy, we've studied this guy, you know, drafted this guy, and we think that, you know, it's a good fit for us, Debo, in terms of the playmaking. And Kinlaw, they just think he's got a lot of upside to go, and he's just been messed up by injury. So, those are obviously the three big moves. So, you know, that was certainly something he talked about.
Something too, he said, he talked about, you know, all of the draft choices making the team last year, including two undrafted free agents. You and I have talked a lot about this. I think I've asked you this at least a couple of times over the last month. And that is, you know, I think sometimes, I'm not saying that everybody, but sometimes you kind of just move on to the next draft and you're, you know, really immersed in the current, you know, free agency and for their, you know, offseason, the trades. And you kind of forget that a lot of players from the draft made the team last year, and there are probably internal expectations that we aren't familiar with when it comes to those players. You know, when people are saying, oh, you need, you know, a receiver, you need another pass rusher, I don't know, maybe they really think Luke McCaffrey's that guy, or maybe they think Jordan McGee's going to be a fantastic player, you know, next year. Those are the kinds of things that I think, you know, we as fans kind of just forget about the players that didn't break out in their rookie year. But they internally believe, no, it just takes time for guys to develop. This guy's going to be a really good player. So he mentioned, you know, all those players, none by name. Who do you think they're thinking of in terms of big-time contributors in 2025?
Well, I mean, just and to sort of piggyback on sort of the broader point, like, we all, the conversation constantly about draft picks, I think people sometimes get the misunderstanding. It's not that every draft pick is going to hit, far from it. It's that the more draft picks you have, then the more, you know, dart throws you have at finding right. somebody that can contribute. So they ultimately have to contribute. It's not, you know, last year they had 9 guys, all their rookies, a draft pick committed team, plus 2 undrafted free agents. And, right, I mean, guys like Luke McCaffrey, you know, didn't quite have like a breakout year. He was effective at spots as a kick returner early in the year, but clearly I would think that's a guy who, you know, he'd only played 2 years in college at receiver, so he was coming in very inexperienced relative to others, you know, coming into that draft. And, you know, him getting another season under his belt goes a long way. And if you look at the situation, like the room right now, you know, you have Terry McLaurin, Debo Samuel, Noah Brown. Yeah, okay, you have Michael Gallup, but he's, you know, I would say that's sort of a back end. We'll see if he makes the team. You know, probably, I guess, but we'll see. And McCaffrey is right now sort of, in my view, like they're leaving space for him to move up if he's able to do it. Now, maybe they draft somebody as well, and that's then another young player. But I think they're like, you know, they haven't signed over him, in my opinion. And I think that's an indication that they have expectations for him to some degree, or at least giving him that room. You know, whereas, like, say, with Ben Sinnott, I'm not saying they don't have expectations, but by bringing back Ertz and Bates, they've kind of said, okay, we're good with kind of running back what we did last year, and if Ben Sinnott can, you know, work his way into getting more reps, then that's great. But they're not like, you know, it's not like sort of sitting there waiting for him to get it done.
Yeah, right. I mean, somebody, you have that many players that made the team. Obviously, there was plenty of room for guys to make the team. But somebody from the, you know, Sinnott, you know, McCaffrey, Jordan McGee, John Baptiste, one of those players is probably going to have a breakout year next year. At least one. I don't know which one. I mean, I don't know if you'd throw Johnny Newton into that. He obviously played a lot. Look, Luke McCaffrey played a lot in terms of snap counts. But somebody probably breaks out, and we're talking about him being a really good player and talking about, you know, sorry, we don't have a fifth-year option on him because after next year we're going to have to sign him to a long-term deal.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, look, you know, if you have 9 draft picks and really only Daniels and Sanders still, we could sit here and say, hey, that they look like we kind of know what they are in terms of being, you know, pieces going forward, and everybody else will sort of wait and see mode to some degree. That means there's a lot more opportunities. I will say, I think one guy that I think is interesting is Jordan McGee. You know, he was the 5th-round pick out of Temple, got hurt in training camp, and, you know, because Bobby Wagner plays every snap, you know, never really got on the field, and he had some more injuries, et cetera. You know, obviously, if Wagner is going to play every snap, then, you know, he's not going to get on the field very much. But that said, you know, this is a spot where, as important as Wagner is to this team, you know, there is some noticeable decline in production, and we'll see what that means for the season. So if Jordan McGee is able to start to show, hey, you know, he can be, if not the eventual replacement, maybe somebody that you got to get in the field more, maybe that's a guy who can get more work. I don't know that that's going to happen because Wagner, again, plays pretty much every snap, so it would have to be like a noticeable difference. But I think that's a guy where, you know, they haven't done anything else in the linebacker room so far, right? They lost Mikel Walker, but other than that, they just kind of kept their group. So I think they're, in part because I think they want to see Jordan McGee, if he's ready to be more involved this year, stay healthy, and then, you know, show what he can do because they really liked him coming out.
Yeah. Talking to Ben Standig at Ben Standig on X. Ben Standig writes for The Athletic. Subscribe to it. And Ben has a podcast called Last Man Standing. You tweeted out about what Zach Taylor, the Cincinnati Bengals coach, said about Trey Hendrickson. When he said be patient, is it be patient so that Hendrickson doesn't find the deal that he's looking for that's beneficial for him and beneficial for the team so they re-sign him to a long-term deal? Or is it be patient, somebody's going to offer us a first and a third?
You know, I kind of get the sense that it's more towards them figuring out a way to keep him. You know, look, this is a logic thing. This is not reporting, but, like, it doesn't make much sense to sign Chase and Higgins and then to let your best defender go in a year where your defense, after a year where your defense was terrible. Like, it's sort of a, you know, an aggressive move to keep those guys at that kind of money. And I would think they would figure out a way to get something done with Hendrickson, but, you know, obviously we'll see. It's not done yet. He's clearly, you know, sounds like he wants his own big deal, obviously, for multiple years, and we'll have to see you know, how that gets done. But if I had a wager right now, it feels to me like it's trending more towards how do they get a deal done rather than waiting for a trade to unfold.
All right, before we look ahead to the draft, this announcement that came out today about Washington having global marketing rights for the United Arab Emirates, all right, for Dubai. What does that mean? Do you know?
Well, I think basically it is, like on some level, you know how like Miami, the Dolphins are the team for the Madrid game, like they're the home team, essentially, right? And the question is like, who's going to play there? I think to some degree, it's like if they do decide to ever have a game at Dubai or United Arab Emirates, that that Washington would be a team. I think there's a multiple teams though, right? So I think Washington would be one of those teams that would be, you know, sort of viewed as the home team. And I guess to whatever degree there is any sort of international marketing that they, you know, along with the NFL, that they can be sort of the team that gets promoted there. Look, by the way, Josh Harris is literally standing 10 feet away from me, and I want to kind of go ask him on your behalf, but I don't want to do that simultaneously. I don't want to get taken down.
Well, whatever you want to do, whatever you're comfortable doing. You need to leave us right now?
No, I'm teasing. He just thought, Emmett, like literally everybody is like, there's like four owners in my purview at the moment, so.
Mike Jones from The Athletic, you know Mike very well. NFL announced four new teams in two international markets have reached marketing program rights. The Ravens were granted rights in the UK. Green Bay granted rights across Germany, Ireland, and the UK. The Chargers granted rights in Greece. Washington granted rights in the UAE. Does that mean like they can... I don't... You mentioning that if a game's ever played there, these are marketing program rights. Does that mean that only they can be the NFL team that markets their wares to that particular country?
I think there is something to that, and I think this is my sort of assumption, but that like the more they have these international games, they don't want it to just maybe feel like it's a pure exhibition. Like they want to have it so there's some sort of connection for the citizens, for the fans. Right. To whatever team is showing up, or at least one of them. So I think that is the basic gist of it. Obviously, the NFL is going to market wherever they're going to market, but yeah, certain teams in certain spots, or they can make, you know, potentially other deals in some way. I don't know if that's sponsorship or whatever, but yeah, I mean, there's a more direct connection by having those rights. I don't know why Washington is getting that spot, or if that's a good one, relatively speaking. It seems like Dubai is pretty good, but from a money standpoint, but yeah. I think that's kind of the gist.
What is the big topic down there in terms of the league meetings? Is Tush Push near the top of the list?
I think so. There really hasn't been a ton of, like, I don't think there's, like, a major, you know, there's no team sale like we've obviously dealt with the last few years. And you know, there's not even, like, a big NFL personnel situation. Like, sure, Aaron Rodgers, but I don't think it's really that big of a deal to dominating. So, yeah, it is. It feels like, you know, the Tush Push, partly because it's sort of a fun discussion, but like that one certainly has gotten some more attention. And I know there's been some reporting in the last couple of days about there may be some more momentum than believed about possibly getting rid of it. And so far, when we did talk to Adam Peters, he politely declined to really get into any real opinion on that. So, So, you know, I think that's a topic. Everything else feels kind of, you know, incremental, not necessarily that big of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there are some significant rule change possibilities over time, seeding in the postseason. The kickoff rule, which was a one-year rule, that looks like it will become more permanent, but with a bigger penalty for touchbacks, the ball will come out to the 35. It looks like, based on what I've been reading from guys that love following this stuff, the Seiferts and the Maskeys of the world, it seems like that is going to pass. That we're going to continue to see the kickoff rule, which was introduced last year, with the change being touchbacks now come out to the 35. And then you've got, you know, what I think is going to be a heated conversation about whether or not to abolish Tush Push. I mean, this is actually kind of an exciting, you know, league meetings and off season as it relates to some key rules in the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, obviously, all these things are important. The seeding is, you know, particularly interesting. There was the year Washington played Tampa Bay in the postseason. This would affect a change in that situation would affect that. Washington had a home game as a 7-9 team against a Tampa Bay group that eventually won the Super Bowl. So yeah, I mean, it would affect that type of game potentially if they do change it. And I'm sort of torn on that one. I think the kickoff certainly. They have a year of data now after changing it up dramatically last year. So we'll see where they go there. And, you know, I think the touch push is pretty interesting. I personally don't view it as like a real football play, but simultaneously the only team that seem to be able to succeed. So I don't know if it makes sense to penalize them for that. But there was some talk against, I forget which coach it was, but said that it's really a lot about understanding, like, being ahead of the curve on, say, injuries, that there's been no data that right now that shows that injuries are a problem, but that maybe there will be. So, I think it's an interesting one for sure, just to see, how do people kind of view, is it your job to stop Eagles, or is it just a crap play in general?
Yeah, but here's the thing, and I talked about it earlier in the show, and I think we've talked about it before. If ultimately they say, yeah, you know, the data's not there on the, you know, it's an unsafe play, to me it's more about pace of play, also stylistically what the play looks like. But beyond that, you can't, if you're going to allow this to be legal, prevent defenses from trying to stop it in any kind of way that they think it can be stopped within the rules by creating a rule which existed, which could allow a referee to award a touchdown to a team just simply trying to be aggressive and creative to stop the other team from scoring. And that's where pace of play then becomes an issue, right? If you say, yeah, you're not allowed to dive over the line of scrimmage to try to stop this play. You're not allowed to do whatever it takes to stop this play. We're making the play legal, but you can't do defensively what needs to be done to stop the play. If they say that, that makes no sense to me. And then the flip side to that is, if they say, sure, go ahead and be as creative as you want, then we end up with the Frankie Louvu situations and goal-to-go situations. And that's a pace-of-play issue.
Yeah, and I know that, like, the way it was framed as it was happening in real time, it made it sort of like, you know, put the onus on Washington for being, you know, being silly or whatever, but I viewed it as, hey, what are they supposed to do? They're trying to figure out how to stop this thing, and, you know, he's trying to time it lead perfectly. And, you know, then on the third one, as we recall, you know, Jalen Hurts, you know, does the thing to try to draw them offside. So that's part of
it. I think we lost Ben. We just got Ben back. Yeah, we missed a little bit of what you said.
I'm just curious, like, how they view the competition aspect. Like you said, are you allowed to do whatever you can, or were you really saying no, you can't, and therefore the Eagles can kind of do what they want? That's where it gets weird.
Right. All right. Well, we've got plenty of time. You know, tomorrow is the first day of April. No fooling. And then we are, you know, just 20-something days away from the draft. One of the things, I'm sure everybody's had this conversation at some point, especially people that, you know, attempt to get some semblance of news via social media, at least occasionally, that it's gotten to the point where, honestly, I don't know what to believe anymore when things get tweeted out. I would bet a lot of you have, you know, like, is this true? How many times have you read something on Twitter in the last, you know, year and said, is this true? Well, this morning started to see that there was a lot of discussion about Tennessee looking to trade potentially with Indianapolis, number one overall. Are you hearing anything as to whether or not that's true? I don't think it is. I think they're going to stay there and take Cam Ward, but is there any conversation about Tennessee at one and what they're planning on doing?
I mean, I haven't heard anything about the Colts. That would be borderline insane. It's for the Colts. I mean, they're picking 14. Like, that jump would be ginormous. So that seems unlikely to me. It's not like, and plus, like, they still have Anthony Richardson. You know, they brought in Daniel Jones for competition. I'm not saying that that's ideal, but there's at least something there to still play with. But beyond that, I mean, look, Tennessee's done nothing with their quarterback room, really. They added Brandon Allen, who's a, you know, sort of a Jag backup type guy. They still have Will Levis, who, you know, I do think there's still some potential there, but obviously it hasn't translated yet. And, you know, Cam Ward, from the way, you know, you hear people talk about this draft, like, he's clearly the number one guy. He would be sort of in the range of last year of, like, where, you know, Penix or Bo Nix were kind of being rated. And, you know, maybe that's not necessarily worthy of being number one, but in a year where there's nobody else and you have the first pick and you need a quarterback, you know, that it would be surprising to me at this point if they didn't take him. If they were willing to trade it, then, you know, it says something about how they view the player. But right now, I have no sense that they're looking to do anything other than just due diligence.
All right. Percent of the pie question. You ready? A pure, like, guess just to talk about the draft. I'm curious as to where your head is. Percent of the pie trading from 29 back, edge defensive end picked, corner picked, running back picked. What am I forgetting? Wide receiver? Sure. Throw in wide receiver. Give me the highest to lowest percentage of what we end up getting at 29.
Well, you didn't mention best player available, and I know that that's sort of such a sort of subjective term. Like, if the best player available is a quarterback, I don't think they're going to take that guy at 29. But I do think, like, they, you know, and Adam Peters addressed this today, like, they have put themselves in a position where basically for any of the position rooms, they could pretty much start the season now and have a viable starter slash rotation. I'm not saying it's the highest end. So, you know, I think a lot is going to come down to not obviously who's on the board. It's hard to predict at 29, but I don't think I'm not really my best player available. And sort of as like a catch-all hedge, I almost want to put that as like the highest option.
I know, but that, you know, right. But I'm looking for you to answer what actually gets executed at 29.
Right. Well, I mean, look, I don't know. I would imagine they want to trade down. I don't think that's much of a surprise. But as Peter said today, you know, you got to find somebody who's willing to do it. I think if you're a Washington fan or somebody in the front office, you're probably hoping that, like, Jackson Dart or maybe even Shadur is still on the board at 29. And one of the teams who didn't take quarterback high in the draft is willing to move up. The Browns have 10 picks, including the first pick in the second round. So I think if that, you know, if they pass on Shadur, that could be a good spot. But, you know, I don't know. I'd put that at, like, say, you're going to make me here, 30%. I feel like corner and edge, it's sort of, I could go, like, sort of 20% each. I mean, I think that the board may fall, that the corners, they're better corners than, like, well, let's put it this way. The corners, there's not as many of them in this draft, and so the ones that are there probably would be a good bit better perception-wise than the ones at the end of the second round, whereas with defensive ends, you know, again, you can't be sure, but there may be better options later. So I think that one, to me, is sort of torn. We get that the edge defender is the bigger, like, upside play, but it just may not work out that way. And then, you know, the offensive playmaker, like, I'll say, like, 10%. I keep talking to myself in the Travion Henderson, the Ohio State running back, who I just think would be so much fun with Jaden. But, you know, it's an impractical pick as well in terms of position value, but it doesn't mean it couldn't happen. So I'll leave that 10% for there.
All right, but so you just combine playmaker, like running back, wide receiver, 10%. So you got to 80, but I'm not gonna kill you.
Oh,
was I
at 80?
Yeah.
I lost.
It's fine.
It's hard to say.
Just
like,
bump the others up. You know,
yeah, 5% each or whatever.
5%. Well, yeah, 7.5% each. Okay. Yeah, 6 whatever percent each. Okay. Good job. Thanks. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you later.
Man. It's been very distracting. The ocean is 10 feet from me. There's been like 8 owners that have walked by. It's very confusing here, so I appreciate the
Are you at the Breakers right now?
I am, yes.
Go to that seafood bar. It's really nice.
So
really
literally
good view of the ocean. It's lovely.
Literally, that's where people on the beat are right now. So I'm going right back
sitting
in there.
Sitting right there in that hole? Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice. Enjoy. Are you staying at the Breakers? Did the Athletic pay for you to stay at the Breakers?
Stop. Get out of here.
I'll talk to you later.
I'm at a lovely Marriott property, not the Breakers. Cool, man.
There are plenty of lovely Marriott properties. I'll talk to you later. Yeah. Thanks.
Later.
All right. We have not talked specifically, or not long enough, about some of the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games that were played since we last spoke. Let's get to that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
In the Elite Eight. Yuzan gets it in, gets it back, and he puts it in! What a play! And now the officials will stop the clock.
You had to be up really late on Friday night, early Saturday morning to see the end of the Houston-Purdue game. But I think of all of the basketball I've watched since we last did a show, that was a compelling watch. It wasn't pretty. You had two gritty teams, two well-coached teams going toe-to-toe. Purdue was up two at halftime. Houston came back and at one point, I think, led by 10 in the second half. Purdue battled back. They tied it on a three from the corner from Camden Heidi with about 30-something seconds left. Houston held for the last shot, Denton, and they ended up having an offensive rebound basically go out of bounds, and they had a possession of it with 2.8 seconds to go, and that was a play that Kelvin Sampson set up where the inbounder threw it in, jumped in bounds, it came right back to him, and he laid it in with 0.8. So bad job by Purdue defending it, but Purdue got royally reamed down the stretch in this game. There were two out-of-bounds calls before you could check on the monitor, so it was just over 2 minutes to go, that were clearly off Houston. that cost Purdue possessions and points. And then on that final possession, there was a clear offensive foul. And people might say, well, you can't call it there. It was a clear extension of the arm by, I think it may have been Cryer. I forget now. And they didn't call it. And Houston maintained possession and won the game 62-60. And then they were awesome yesterday, destroying Tennessee, holding Tennessee to 15 first half points. I love that team, and I love watching that team right now. I think they're going to win the whole thing next weekend. I think they're going to beat Duke, and then I think they're going to beat either Florida or Auburn. That's why I wanted you to come back with the Houston highlight, because I think they're the best all-around team left in the draw. I like Duke a lot. I like Florida a lot. Auburn has played better here recently. But to me, Houston's combined all-around team is grown men that are going to physically beat up whoever they play over the final two games. Similar to what Baylor did the year they won it.
I hope it's Houston. That's my champion. So that would make me a lot of money. And that would win a couple of brackets for probably the first time in my life. My only fear is that Duke is a literal buzzsaw right now. You know, we kind of thought that like Florida was going to be this buzzsaw when we were coming into the tournament, and they've been really, really good, obviously. But Duke has been just legitimately steamrolling everybody else. To your point, they haven't played a team like Houston. Certainly not in the NCAA tournament. Like, you look at some of the teams they have played, nobody's as physical as Houston.
Nope.
The difference in physicality between like a Bama and a Houston is as wide as the Grand Canyon. Like, Houston is going to get up in there, and they're going to make life really tough for some of the shooters on Duke's roster and Cooper Flag. It's just, man, Duke is so loaded. And once they had that stretch against Bama, where the big guy from PVI, right? They got two PVI players. They got the shooter, they got the big guy.
Yeah,
when the big guy comes in and he starts facilitating, I was just like,
big guy didn't even play at the end of the
dude,
year
this
last
is
year.
Not fair. And he's just getting in here and he's dishing out assists. They're so loaded, and they play such good defense. That game is going to, I think that's going to be the real headbanger. Auburn and Florida, I think, will be a good one. But Duke and Houston is going to be, I think, the game of the
week. That is the nightcap, right? I'm assuming they put that in the nightcap.
Yeah, there's no way Duke is not a nightcap.
Yeah, of course. Just going back to Friday and some of the Sweet 16 games, the Michigan State-Ole Miss game was outstanding. And I really, during the course of this tournament, really fell in love with that guy, Sean Padula, the Ole Miss point guard. What a competitor. What a tough-ass point guard he is. And they had a chance to win that game. That was a really high-quality basketball game. Ole Miss certainly had opportunities in that game. You know, move to Saturday, the Elite Eight games, and Texas Tech missing two front ends of one-and-ones. I mean, they had a big lead, and Florida came roaring back. You know, they didn't need Walter Clayton Jr. against Maryland. You know, they were just flat-out better than Maryland that night. You know, Selton Miguel didn't make a shot. There were a lot of Terps didn't play great, but Florida was better. They didn't even need their star player to do it. Well, they needed Walter Clayton Jr. on Saturday, and they roared back from a big deficit. They actually nearly covered. You know that, right? I actually gave out three winners this weekend. No losers. I had Ole Miss. Did you see the way Ole Miss covered against Michigan State?
Oh yeah, I did.
Yeah. Basically a 30-footer that was off. It was deep, and it hit. It was one of those shots that hit the rim, hit the back, connector to the backboard of the rim, and just died on it, and then fell through for the cover at the buzzer. And then I had Auburn on Friday night, and then I had Duke on Saturday against Bama. But the Florida, so I'm 12-9-1, just FYI, in the tournament smell test. So chance that we're going to have another winning year with the picks. But we got more games to go. I actually liked both unders yesterday. They both hit. But I actually personally played Texas Tech against Florida, and they were the right side the entire side. They did end up covering, but they were, you know, they were up at one point with, what, 10 minutes to go, 10, 11, something like that. Hell of a basketball game between Texas Tech and Florida, and a great job by Walter Clayton Jr. And then the games yesterday, what Houston – well, first of all, the nightcap Saturday night. I personally do not want Nate Oates. I don't think Nate Oates would ever come to Maryland. His buyout's too high. He gets paid too much money. I mean, Bama's just flush. I don't think – I know a lot of Maryland people would like Nate Oates. Has he ever had a good defensive team at Bama, like a really good defensive team?
I don't know that he's had a good defensive team anywhere that he's coached.
So what they do with analytics and offense, I'm for it. I mean, they shot 51 threes in their Sweet 16 win, made 25, a record for the tournament. They were 8 of 32 against Duke and got absolutely punked. They could not stop Duke. Duke shot like 54% from the floor, 47% or something like that from behind the arc. Cooper Flagg, fine. It was like 16 and 10 or something like that. They got a lot of options, Duke does. And then to me yesterday, just watching what Houston did to Tennessee in the first half was awesome. And I said earlier, the Auburn-Michigan State game was never like close enough for it to be a memorable game. But I thought both teams executed on both ends of the floor at a really high level. And the bottom line was Houston made more shots and Duke and Michigan State couldn't. They were both relentless on the glass. They both shared the ball. The teams didn't turn it over much. I'm looking at turnovers right now just to see if I'm right about that. Yeah, Auburn had 6. Michigan State had 9. Great turnover numbers. It's just a high-level, incredibly well-coached game between Auburn and Michigan State. And Auburn had Jahni Broome, who was the best player on the floor in that game. It was a great game, just not a competitive game, like down to the wire. Auburn got it together in this tournament, Denton. They were not playing well at the end of the season. They lost 3 or 4 out of their last 5, was it? Something like that. And they were not playing well at the end of the season, but they got it together, and the matchups are good ones, man. Houston, Duke. I'm calling Houston right now to cut down the nets a week from tonight. In terms of Auburn, Florida, I think I like Florida. What did Florida do against Auburn this year? Didn't they crush Auburn at Auburn?
They beat them by 9. They beat them 90-81.
Right.
And that's the only time those two teams have played.
Because they didn't meet in the SEC tournament because Auburn got beat by Tennessee. Or Ole Miss.
They lost
or something
by
like
Tennessee.
That.
They beat Ole Miss, lost to Tennessee.
There.
It's just one of the weird matchups where you play a lot of the SEC teams twice, and those two teams just happen to not play twice during the
regular
season.
But Florida went to Auburn when Auburn was number one in the country and beat them up pretty good. Like you just said, 90-81. My memory is that game was never really close. Am I right about? Yeah, they had a 17-point lead. They had a 21-point lead in the second half of that game at Auburn.
And that was when
game
Auburn
ended up being 9. It was close to 9 at the end. That was the closest it was at any point in the second half was the final score.
That broke Auburn's 13-game win streak at the time.
Yeah. Good Final Four games, right? I mean, four number ones.
This is what you want. Like, I know people have been all up in arms because we didn't have any upsets. These have been the best games that you could ask for. I mean, Houston-Tennessee just was boring because Tennessee decided to think that they were Alabama and wanted to shoot, and shoot again. But outside of that, the matchups, these have been the best matchups that you could have asked for. I obviously like getting all number ones is a very rare occasion, but these teams are clearly the best teams.
I was really rooting for Michigan State. I wanted to see Izzo back in the Final Four, and I think Michigan State would have had a chance against Florida and to be in the title game against Houston or Duke. But Auburn, you know, won the game with an incredible moment. Jahni Broome coming out of the locker room after a shoulder injury. First time he touches it, he knocks down a 3. God, he is a smooth player. He's such a methodical player, though. You know, like he's very strong. He's got great hands. He's got great feel. He's got great touch. He defends hard, but there's a style with him that looks, you know, he's like the big man's version of like DeMar DeRozan. Like he just plays in slow motion, don't you think?
I mean,
do you know what I'm saying?
I definitely get. I do get what you're saying. I think, you know, Jokic also does that, but him and Jokic are not the same. DeMar DeRozan is just a funny compare. I did not think we were going to be mentioning DeMar
DeRozan. Well, because
DeRozan
he's not the same position, but DeMar DeRozan is about as, sorry, it's impossible for you, whatever you're doing defensively, to make me go any faster than I want to go. You know, Kawhi Leonard's that way. You know, it doesn't matter what you do defensively. I'm not going to speed up. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to get to my spot. And they're just brilliant at doing that. You know, there's never any hurry, ever. I love that about him. And he's a lefty, and it looks pretty, you know, when he shoots. What was he yesterday? Did he miss? 10 of 13 from the floor.
While injured, too, which is crazy.
Huh? While injured. 25 and 14 he went for. I'll tell you, the freshman, Pettiford, man, that dude is fearless. Jersey City, all over him. All right, well, it's a good Final Four. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll finish it up with where we started. Maryland, Kevin Willard is gone. My pitch is and was, and I talked about this Friday afternoon as well. Look, what's done is done. You know, smart businesses learn from what happened and then start coming up with solutions. And I think Kevin may have created a better situation for the next coach. I'm not saying he did it intentionally. Trust me, he didn't. But because of what the school kind of recognized along the way, that there was some blame to share in along the way, the next coach may have it better. The exit was messy. There's lots to eviscerate Kevin Willard for. I'm curious as to what you want done next. I talked about it as being a look in the mirror moment for Maryland. And by the way, I think they started to look in the mirror a lot, you know, over the last week to 10 days. And there are a lot of people out there that have wanted others to look in the mirror over the last 10 years. But hopefully they're in a new spot. Who do you want as the coach? The pickings this time of year, because of the timing, aren't great. But give me who you would love to see as the next head coach. I'll give you a couple of names. Denton will give you a couple of names, but we'll open it up for phone calls at 301-230-0980. You can also vent if you'd like. Have at it. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
As Kevin mentioned, Kevin Willard is gone. He left the Terps early Sunday morning to become the new head coach at Villanova. The Terps are now in a very tough spot without a men's basketball coach and an athletic director. Nats got their first win of the season on Sunday, 5-win over the Phillies. Mitchell Parker pitched 6 1/3, struck out 5 on 7 hits. Alex Ovechkin now 5 away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's record. He scored 890 against the Sabres on Sunday. The Caps, however, fell 8-5. They're now 3 points behind the Jets for the most points in the NHL. The Final Four is set in the men's NCAA tournament for the first time since 2008. All four number one seeds reach the Final Four. You get Auburn, Florida to start off Saturday. You get Duke and Houston as the nightcap. Local hoops, Gonzaga head coach Steve Turner is leaving after 26 seasons to take the head job at Mount Vernon Academy in Florida. Wizards in action tonight. They tip at 7 on the Team 980. And that's what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
We'll get to calls quickly on this, but who do you want as Maryland's next head coach? Look, this is one of those situations where you're really projecting from afar. You know, there's a lot of reasons why they might love a coach, but the coach's buyout is too expensive, much less expensive than Willard's. The guy's already, you know, getting paid a ridiculous sum that this particular university isn't willing to approach. Chris Beard, to me, is just flat out one of the best X's and O's coaches in basketball. I think he's a motivator. He seems to land on players. If Maryland is going to be committed more so after the last week and a half to basketball than they've been, I would love it, but apparently he's got an expensive buyout. Luke Murray, the assistant at UConn, would be an interesting, but there's so much more about him we don't know because he is an assistant coach. I would be thinking, unlike with the post Gary and post Mark Turgeon era, I would be thinking about a lot of things, including winning number one, but also getting the fan base excited, because one of the, you know, untold parts of this season and maybe the dissatisfaction among, you know, people in the know at Maryland and maybe even their last couple of coaches is it's only a couple of times a year that Maryland's fan base actually posts. Most of the time they post as empty seats. So, you know, a Patino, if they had hired him a few years ago, would have filled the place up and you would have won. So I'd be looking for some of that too, but that costs big time. I'm not saying Patino specifically. I don't think he's going anywhere. What do you think, Denton?
I'd be very interested in the suggestion that John Talti gave us in hour number one. It's not a sexy hire, but if you can get the guy that was the mastermind between one of the great runs in UConn history and just college basketball history, and Luke Murray, the guy that ran their offense, I would be very intrigued by giving him his first opportunity, getting a great offensive team put together, and then trusting that if you give him enough resources, he'll be able to recruit. Plus, right, I think Bill Murray will attract more fans to Maryland, to be honest.
Let's get to the phone lines. Jim from Burke. Jim, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Kevin, I played golf in Maryland. My dad took me to the ACC tournament when I was 8, and I'm 60 years old. I've been around Maryland athletics for a long time. I don't usually get involved in calls like this, but I'm a season ticket holder, and I don't know what's going on in Maryland, because if I was doing anything, I would get Gary Williams involved, and I would get Juan Dixon involved. Juan was a coach. Gary Williams, obviously, has a proven record. He's a no-nonsense guy. He knows how to put people together that make decisions. Why isn't Bisciotti called? Why isn't Vampel called? Why isn't the people
that have money...
I think
all of those people have certainly been consulted, and Gary's probably, I would guess, very involved in the search committee for AD and head coach.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Those all right. Gary was the first go around, and I promise you he's involved again.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what the NIL stuff is. That's way before, I played a long time ago, so
yeah.
I don't know what's involved there. I don't even know what's involved with not having. I don't understand why we don't have an AD. That to me is ridiculous. I don't know why they let him go. I don't know what happened. I don't know the inner workings of what's going on. I don't know why Locksley went and even interviewed with the Jets. I don't understand any of this stuff. It doesn't make sense to me. Maybe you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think a lot of people that have been close to it. And Jim, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Go Terps. I think that a lot of people have understood that it hasn't been, let's just say super basketball friendly inside the university, inside that athletic department for a long time. And I think a lot of people feel that it should be. But football generates the, significant majority of the revenue, not because of people coming to the games or even being interested in the games, but because they're part of the Big Ten and the TV deal. Let's go to Tom in Columbia. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought that Willard move was fantastic. I think you said it last week. He had leverage, and he exercised it. So anybody that wants to say the kid's feelings are hurt, just consider that a life lesson. But big picture here, going back to Debbie Yow days, and maybe
I don't know what you just said. Sorry, clarified what you just said. Sorry.
I was just following up on the comment that Coach Willard was in a rare situation where suddenly he had leverage sitting right in his lap.
Right.
The AD walked. He wanted concessions, maybe some major concessions, and he was going 100% all out with that leverage. Obviously, Maryland couldn't meet it.
According to reports, they did meet it. That's where the exit gets messy.
Know.
Because he said he would stay if they met what he was looking for. And he said for what he was looking for wasn't that high. And I think they met it and maybe even exceeded it. That's where, from his standpoint, it just doesn't look good. The thought he may have had one foot out the door the entire time, so why go through the charade of the last 9-10 days? With that said, as I've said, it's a look-in-the-mirror moment for Maryland, Seriously. And I think they are. We'll figure out what comes next probably over the next few days. Chris Russell next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated,
But the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries. And you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus. You must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.